so near and yet so far away. And in these verses of Scripture in 2 Kings, we learn that at a period of time in the life or history of the children of Israel, that they lost the book of God, that it had been stuffed away somewhere, and that the priest found it. And when he found it, he brought it to the other priest, and they took it to the king, and the king was shocked to learn what was in the book of God, in the book of the law, that the children of Judah, that the Jews had not been obeying. And this was the great fear that the king had. When he found that out, he asked these priests to go inquire of the Lord for him, because Judah was at great threat. And this is what we saw in these verses this morning, 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8, first of all. And Hilkiah, the priest, said unto the shape and the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And I made a big issue out of that I have found thing this morning, simply because you almost think it would be unheard of that that tribe, that nation, who was committed with preserving and forwarding the oracles of God at a time in their history, didn't have any of it in circulation. And so because of that, in the following verses, the king was really concerned about it and should have been. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, in verses 10 through 13 we read, Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Akbar the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah a servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire to the Lord of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. And I posed a question this morning about how a nation of people, how a group of people, could possibly hope to know what God's book said if God's book was not even in circulation. And I made some issue about the fact that I believe that today the people of God are in trouble with God because they've stuck their Bibles back in a hole somewhere in their life, stuffed it in laid it up on the mantle to collect dust, stuffed it on a shelf in the closet, that's symbolically speaking, or maybe really speaking truly. At any rate, that in the lives of a lot of God's children today, the Word of God is not out there in the open. It's not being used, it's not being studied, and it's not, of course, being followed, because it's unknown. And as I finished up this morning, I reminded us that to be ignorant of the law by which we live our lives is unwise. And I had earlier pointed out that the Bible and the words of God in our Bible are the precepts or guidances for the people of God. They are our living law, our law for living by. And so, if we're ignorant of that law, then we are a very unwise people. Now, we find the Jews in our text, obviously, had wandered off somewhere to a place where they could not possibly have been identified or called wise people because of what they had done with the book of God. And so, in the same way, I believe that Christians today might well be charged with being unwise when they forget the things of God, when they don't study their Bibles, when they don't have them near at hand, and don't continue and keep up their study. Now, let me just say that tonight I'd like for us to think about the fact that goes beyond being ignorant of the law. It goes beyond what our first point was this morning, that God's Word is the Christian's law and living guide. for which I'd have provided a bunch of examples out of the Bible for how it is just that to us. And I want us to go this evening to a thought that I would word something like this, that being ignorant of the Word of God is a terrible thing. It's an inexcusable thing.
Amen.
But on the other hand, to ignore this guidance manual is a worse thing, I believe.
Yes.
To be ignorant of it is bad, but to ignore the guidance of God given in the Bible is a very, very offensive thing to God, and it's a dangerous thing for our lives. Daniel had a lot to say about what the people of God in his day, what the Jews, the Israelites, what they had done toward God in ignoring the things of the Word of God. And he clearly saw the relationship between paying attention to God's guidance and the difference of what happened when people did not pay attention to the guidance of God. And in Daniel chapter 9, in verses 5 and 6, he's lamenting the enslaved condition of Israel, and he's praying to God for relief. And here in these verses, he says, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets which spoke in thy name, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." And so, what Daniel was saying was, we haven't been listening to the Word of God. We haven't been following the rules of the Word of God. We haven't used the Word of God for the purpose for which God gave it to us. And so because of that, he says, we are in trouble with God. We are in a place that we have sinned before God. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We have rebelled by departing from those precepts that the Word of God gives us. Now, folks, what Daniel is telling us is something I believe that God's people can be as guilty of today as they were in the days of Daniel. And that is knowing the Word of God, knowing that God's Word says thus and thus, but departing from it, ignoring it, despising it, and not using it for the guidance that it provides. I believe that's what Daniel was saying in his confession to God. And so, we have not hearkened unto thy servants, he says, the prophets. And because we have not hearkened, Daniel says, O Lord, we know that we are in trouble with you. Does that kind of sound like and resonate with us today, brothers and sisters? Does it sound like something we need to be praying to God on our knees in our prayer closets? That, O Lord God, we have not hearkened unto your word. We have not studied our Bibles as we should. We have not looked upon the things that God has given us for precepts and attempted to live by. We have not sought your face in doing what is right. And because of that, O God, we, as God's people in America, we are in trouble.
Right.
Folks, whatever happens to America, it's going to happen to us as God's people in America. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. But guess what? In our flesh and blood, bodies and lives down here on planet Earth, we live as citizens of the United States of America. And whatever befalls America is going to befall us. And listen, folks, America has sinned against God in many things. And I'll not reiterate them. I've quoted them enough from this pulpit, but I will remind us that we've done things that have brought the destruction of many a nation, many a people, many a culture. We as a nation have committed iniquities for which God has wiped out civilizations in the past. And yet for all of that, God lingers still. I suspect the prayers of the saints of God in America is all that has prevented God from bringing the hand of anger and judgment full-heartedly down upon the people in America. And so, we find that being ignorant of the words of God is one thing, and I gave you some reasons for which we might in certain times and under certain circumstances excuse the ignorance of the people of God about what the Word of God says. Because sometimes God's people aren't in a position to learn the Word of God in a good way. They're going to some heretical church somewhere that's teaching lies. Or they've just been saved by the grace of God, haven't really had time to bury themselves in the Word of God. And so it's being ignorant of God's Word, it is one thing. Bad enough for a mature children of God, but it is far worse to ignore the guidance manual of God altogether, even knowing the Word of God. This is the thing that we have gotten into in America as God's people, I believe. And why is it so important for God's people to pay attention to the Word of God? Well, there are a lot of reasons. I gave a bunch of reasons for why we ought to always use the Word of God this morning as our law and our guide. But there are a lot of reasons why we as God's people need to pay attention, attend to the Word of God. For one thing, folks, here's something that's indispensable for us as God's people. Believers discover things about their conduct and the consequences of paying attention to the Word of God or the consequences of not paying attention to the Word of God when they read the Word of God. There's nobody going to tell you or me what's going to happen to us if we disobey God's Word except the Lord Himself. Maybe through the mouth of a preacher, but hey, what about through you reading and me reading the Word of God itself and being warned of God out of the Word? What can happen when we ignore the Word of God? And in the same manner, God's Word tells us what a manifest blessing await us when we read and study and follow and obey the Word of God. That's the wonderful thing about the Word. It is full of blessings and promises from God to us. It is God's love letter to us, but it's also God's warning letter to us, and we need to pay attention to it. And, you know, what the really, I think, serious thing is that what is not good is for believers to read the Bible and actually have a level of understanding of the Word of God and think about what they've read from God's instructions and guidance, and then make excuses for why they will not or cannot do it. I think that's where we really step off of the precipice, folks, when we read God's Word and say, yeah, I see what that means. I see what it's saying. And then we go off and say, but I just can't do it right now. Folks, let me encourage every one of you. Whatever God's Word reveals to us, we can do. Not alone. Never try that. But you can do it by the power of God, by the guidance of God, by simply following the rule of the Word. We can do what God lays out for us to do. And if we remembered that all the time, we'd stay out of trouble a lot of the time, folks. We really would. And so, it's not good for believers to read something in the Word of God, think about something that they've read, and then make excuses why they don't follow it, or perhaps worst of all, rationalize it away by saying it means something it doesn't. I think we've got a lot of that going on today. Well, I know it says that right there about that, and a lot of people say and think it means this, but really I believe it means this. And that this that they believe it means is something that allows them to skate by. Folks, we're in a generation and a culture of excusers. We excuse ourselves. We excuse, hey, if you're going to excuse somebody, excuse others for their transgressions. Don't excuse yourself. If you're going to come down hard on somebody, come down on yourself. Let me criticize myself for my failures, first of all. Now, we find that rationalizing away the guidance of the Word of God never fails to get people in trouble. And when they get in trouble with God, a lot of times we as God's people wonder what went awry, what happened. But if we inspect ourselves a little bit, I think we'll discover in every instance that we have rationalized away what we ought to be doing in service to God. Now, people that rationalize away and excuse away doing that which God would have them to do are like that son in Mark chapter 21 and verse 30 who was ordered by his dad to go to work in the field and told his dad that he would go, and then he didn't go. I know he lied. The Bible says later he repented and went. But at the time, he just plain out and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm going." And then he didn't go. And you know, for us to assent that we have understood the Word of God and then reject what the Word of God tells us to do, it's just like that son. It's making an excuse for ourselves. And really, whether we like it or not, brothers and sisters, we've lied to God. Now, believers who act like this, folks, are like drivers that ignore oncoming trains at a railroad crossing. Really are. We ignore the Word of God. If we rationalize it away, oh, that train's not there. It's not roaring down the track with its horns going wide open, and I'm not driving across this railroad track right in the middle of him being at the track in the crossing at the same time. That's what it's like, folks. And we ought to avoid that kind of behavior. Let us face the truths of God, the Word of God, the warnings of God for what they are. Take those warnings home to ourselves and not act like that danger does not await if we ignore those truths, if we rationalize them away. Reading and knowing the Word of God and understanding what God teaches us in His Word about what we're to do, and yet not following it and not obeying or just rationalizing it away, it's kind of like a fellow that wants to stay dry while it's raining, but he walks out in the middle of it with no umbrella. That's about what it's like. And so we need to watch this thing, because we as God's people need to be warned that left to ourselves and following our old human carnal nature, we will ignore the guidance manual of God, this holy word, and we will be in trouble with God. Now, the next thing that I want us to think about this account, or about what it may symbolize for us, where the book of God had been lost, the book of the law had been put away somewhere, and had been ignored for so long that nobody knew what was going on with it. Another thing that I think that it ought to represent to us is a warning that ignoring the guidance manual of God is while it's really unwise, as I've already said, there is yet a worse thing in handling the Word of God than just ignoring it. You might say, well, I can't think of a thing in the world be worse than ignoring the written Word of God telling you what you need to do and what you should do and how you can be blessed if you do it and how you can be chastised if you don't. I don't think there's anything worse in the world. Well, there is, and I just hinted at it a few minutes ago. And that is the act by people who study the Word of God of customizing the guidance of God so that it fits with their own customized view of what they are supposed to do or ought to be allowed to do. Customization of the Word of God is a very, very unwise act on the part of anybody. I don't care whether they're lost or saved. Bad enough if they're lost. But listen, I think it's twice as bad for a child of God to customize the Word of God when they are attempting to get out of answering to the Word. And folks, believe me, it happens. It does. And I have heard customization of the Word of God all of my adult life from Christians. I've even heard customization of God's Word from preachers, not as though preachers are something separate from Christians, but I'm telling you, I've heard men, women, boys, and girls customize the Word of God, customize the meanings of it, in order to get around doing what the Word of God tells us to do. There's a story in Jeremiah about a king, and most of you remember this, that our Bible students, a king and his advisor customized the Word of God. You can read it in Jeremiah 36. And in that, this king did some stuff that you would never think of doing literally, but it really is a wonderful illustration of the customization of the Word of God. In Jeremiah 36:23, after the Word of God that Jeremiah was told of God to write and send to the king, after it was brought to the king, this king, when he began to read it, it says it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. So God said, Jeremiah, write my words that I have for him and send them to him. And Jeremiah wrote them and had them delivered, and he cut out one page at a time until it was all gone. Brothers, that's severe customization, but it's a great illustration of how people just remove part of the Word of God in order to get around doing what God tells us to do. Folks, I'm going to say this flat-footed. It is hard. It's not impossible, but it is hard for God's people. It's impossible for the lost. It is hard for God's people to read everything in the Word of God and then make the most honest and faithful effort possible to live by it. It's hard. I realize that it's hard. But listen, do you ever wonder why Enoch walked with God? Do you ever wonder why God said David was a man after his own heart? It's because those men made an honest effort to live by the Word of God. And we won't get there unless we make the same effort. And so, it's hard to do. We are inclined, like Jehudi, to simply cut out the leaves that don't fit with our what we think must be done in our lives. You know, this must be done, it's overwhelming sometimes. We let it swallow up our obedience to God. There's an old saying in America, all I've got to do is die and pay taxes. No, all you've got to do is die. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't pay taxes, a lot of other things develop, don't they? And the truth is, brothers and sisters, we as God's people might have our own adage. And that adage might well be spoken like this. All we've got to do is obey God. Amen. We learn how to do that. Sweet glory road. If we learn how to do that. But if we customize the Word of God, we get in trouble with God. Now, we read in the next chapter of Jeremiah, after Jeremiah 36, after this incident with the king and him cutting out, throwing all the leaves into the fire, we read in the next chapter that God told Jeremiah to write the words again and add more words to the message that he first sent. Now, folks, you might think, well, there's nothing in that for me. I think there's something in that for every child of God. And the something I see in it, among other things that are probably there, is this. When you customize the Word of God is going to come back to haunt you. It'll come back to visit you again. And more than visit you with just the words that you customized, it's going to come back with additional words from God about your actions. I believe that's what God would have us to understand, at least out of this account we read in Jeremiah. Now, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17 spoke of some folks that he said were corrupting the Word of God. And this, I believe this account that Paul gives us of some teachers or preachers or whatever corrupting the Word of God, I believe Paul was talking exactly about customizing the meaning and the guidance of God's Word to fit something they wanted, they thought they ought to have, that they thought they ought to teach. You might say, well, Brother Myers, there's not a lot of customization of the Word of God today. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. You want to see some Bible customization? I don't encourage this now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to go and read this as a study. But if you want to see some Bible, some Word of God customization, go read a little bit out of the New International Version or the North American Standard Bible or the Good News Bible or the Jerusalem Bible. And I can name about a half a dozen others that if you'll go and read them, you'll see some customization. That's beyond your belief if you understand the Word of God, if you're schooled on what God's Word says as it was translated out in the King James. I know there's stuff in the King James that doesn't fit well with how we say things today. But I'm telling you right now, there are a bunch of customizations going on out there and we need to be aware of it. And there's customization of the Word of God in our culture today, not just where somebody's written a false Bible. I've got almost every one of those versions in my library at home. You know what I've got on the first blank page of those Bibles? This is not a book to be read as the Word of God. It is for study, to contrast, to determine the contrast between these new versions and the true Word of God. That's what I've got in the front of those. But listen, there's more customization going on in America today than just with written Bibles or so-called Bibles. And let me just review a few. You know everything I'm going to say. But let's review them so we can see how the Word of God has been customized today in American culture to the point that I dare say some of you have been tripped up by it, have been drawn off of dead center by it. And here's one. Did you know that in America today, murder of an unborn infant is not murder. It's getting rid of an unwanted mass. Did you know that? Is that customization of the Word of God or not? I say it is. You might say, well, that's a bunch of lost people doing that. Every soul, every man shall give account of himself unto God. And I'm talking about every human creature that was ever born. So being lost is no excuse. Leading the herd as a lost person is no excuse. That's a customization of the word murder that God clearly defines in the Bible, in the Word of God. Did you know today in America, perverted sex acts are not sodomy, they're not bestiality, they're not child molestation, they're sexual preferences. Now folks, you have to call that customizing the Word of God. Because God clearly defines what those perverted acts are, and they are transgressions against the natural law of God and other things. And yet today, in our culture, it is forced down our throat that we're supposed to call them sexual preferences. Not so. Customizing the Word of God. Did you know that in America today, discipline of your child is not obeying the Word of God about disciplining your child. It is an act of child abuse. Did you know that? What has happened to the Word of God that tells us that we are chargeable to God for disciplining our children when the law, the government, and the public culture of our public says, oh no, that's child abuse if you whip your kid. I'm sorry, But that's customization of the Word of God. Just because a nation or a culture or society throws the Word of God out the window and starts adopting its own definitions for things, it doesn't make the Word of God void. In the last hour, folks, when all of mankind stands before the great Creator, they will give account of every one of these deviations from the Word of God. Every one of them. Did you know that in America, extortion and theft by deception in business today is not extortion and theft? What it really is in America today is business savvy. Yes, they have a nice definition for business savvy, and it encompasses, approves of extortion and deception. Customizing the Word of God. Did you know that in America today, lying to everybody about everything is not lying? It's good politics, it's good business, and it's just good diplomacy. How come is it you can't trust a politician anymore? Because the definition of lying has been thrown out the window, the definition that God has given of it, and now lying is just good diplomacy. It's good politics. Folks, I could go on like this all night about how in America the Word of God has been customized to fit what wicked men want to accomplish by their transgressions. Now, customizing God's guidance to fit with a contrary social or cultural morality, folks, it is an abomination to God. It's like rebuilding a church and customizing that church to be a beer joint or a liquor store. It's just about that profane. No, it's worse than that. I can't give a good illustration because there isn't an earthly illustration to illustrate what an abomination to God it is for men to take the Word of God and the definitions in the Word of God and the precepts in the Word of God and just throw them out the window or cut and tear at them until they have a new definition that fits with their own wicked devices. There's just no word way to explain it. Modern day corrupting and adulterating of the guidance of God, it always reminds me of Satan's approach to Eve in the garden. Thou shalt not surely die, but when you eat thereof, you will become wise as God, knowing good and evil. What a customization of the recent spoken words of God. But it worked. It worked on Eve, didn't it? And she bought it. And in the same way today, if we're not careful, we slip down the slippery slope of adopting the lying customizations of the Word of God and accepting their definitions as being the upright kinds of definitions. I use this quite a bit to illustrate how we can slip off the side without knowing it. And so maybe I'll wear it out. But it's a really great one to illustrate what I'm talking about. Did you grow up with your teacher telling you that honesty is the best policy? Did you know that that is a customization of the Word of God? The real Word of God says honesty is the only policy. And yet, you and I grew up using it like it was the very Word of God. And we thought it was the right thing to say. But it wasn't. And that's the way it goes, folks. Once you start down the slippery slope and begin to customize the Word of God to fit with what you want and you need, next thing you know, you're a slave to your want and your need. and then you're in trouble with God. We've got to watch it because it is a dangerous thing. So we have a whole list of things that our culture has done in customizing the Word of God. And it has crept into our churches, and it's probably been here all the time because everywhere you read in the Bible, you find there's always some kind of contention about something that is doctrine. And so it's the nature of man to always be trying to skirt around the things of God and not walk the straight and narrow. And it's our business, brothers and sisters, as the people of God, to draw or define what God's line is and make every effort by the leading of the Spirit of God to walk that line. Regardless of what our society does, regardless of what our culture teaches, to do all that we can to do things as God has laid them out in His Word. I want to close with one final observation, and it's just from the Word of God. I extensively used Psalms 119 this morning to close out. I'm going to go back to it. Psalms 119 and verse 89. This is my closing observation about so near and yet so far away and the customization of the Word of God. Psalms 119 and verse 89, these famous historical words of the psalmist as he writes about the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Folks, I am so glad that nothing man does to corrupt the Word of God, to customize the Word of God, to ignore the Word of God, to defy the Word of God, to do anything to or about the Word of God, regardless of what men do, God's Word is settled forever and is out of the reach of man because it's settled in heaven. Praise God for His Word. I want to make one final comment for us as congregation. We found the Jews in our text in the 22nd of 2 Kings. We found the Jews had lost their Bible. It was stuffed away on a priest's shelf somewhere. And when it was found, it was like, whoa! Here's a new invention I've never seen before. This is a book that has the law of God in it. And you know, the way they worded that, it seems like as you read it, that the priest didn't know anything about it. He didn't really know what to do with it. And folks, my warning to us, never, never, never let the Word of God get to a place in your household where it becomes a strange object that gathers dust or whatever, gets stuffed in a drawer or whatever. Never let it grow to be a strange object that doesn't get picked up. Let it be picked up daily. Let us partake of something from the Word of God every day. If you just can't make it to read a chapter, open the book wherever it falls open and read two words. You're not saved. What good will it do to read two words? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as thunder to the joints of marrow and the soul and the spirit. It has the power to show you and me what we are. And I'm convinced that two words out of it have the power to do some of that for us. So if you can't read a chapter, you can't read several verses, open it up and say, the voice of the Lord. It'll do something.